Thanks for downloading this bonus episode of the IVNV podcast. I'm one of the co-hosts of this podcast. My name is Corey. And last weekend was Cubs Convention in Chicago. And during that event, I had the opportunity to meet and speak with the new play-by-play broadcaster of the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. His name is Scott Kornberg. I think you'll enjoy this discussion. And one of the things that Scott talks about is how playing in the Carolina League, and specifically at TicketReturn.com Field in Myrtle Beach, can impact the statistics of left-handed power hitters. So here is my conversation with Scott Kornberg. So for any Cubs fans that haven't been to Myrtle Beach to watch the Pelicans play, explain or kind of describe what just the experience is like. I mean, minor league baseball, I think each ballpark has its own character, kind of, and kind of explain what that Myrtle Beach experience is like.
Well, you know, Corey, it's a really cool experience. And Stadium Journey, which always rates various ballparks and stadiums and all the sports, has rated it in the top 50 in all the sports in terms of experiences for the last 5 years. So Myrtle Beach does a really good job. I'm excited to kind of jump ship from Winston-Salem to Myrtle Beach, because when I got to visit Myrtle Beach last year, it was such a cool experience. They really embraced being a Cubs affiliate. Last year was their first year as a Cubs affiliate, so they pretty much revamped the entire ballpark, and if you want to, Cubsified it in a way. So down the left field line, there's like a wiffle ball field, and on the wall, the wiffle ball field is fake ivy. It's sort of like Wrigley Field. Then down the right field line, there's a grill, the Addison and Clark grill. So that they have some really cool Cub stuff. They'll play Go Cubs Go. They have the W flag nice. If Myrtle Beach wins. So it's really, really neat that they've embraced the Cubs so much and so quickly. And I think my personal favorite tradition, if you do have a chance to get to visit Myrtle Beach at all, or any of your listeners, seventh inning stretch, they have a guest, either a celebrity in Myrtle Beach or someone who will get to sing the seventh inning stretch just like at Wrigley Field. So I think it's a really, really cool atmosphere. There's sort of a beach area down the left field line as well, where they've got a lifeguard stand and stuff like that. You can kind of have a group party out on the sand watching baseball. So it's kind of a mix of Myrtle Beach, and they've really done a nice job implementing the Cubs as well.
So you say they, because you were not with the Pelicans last
That's right.
year.
That's right.
So, you know, I think a lot of people listen to, a lot of Cubs fans around the country listen to the minor league affiliates, you know, through the minor league baseball app and stuff like that. So for the people that are going to hear it, I guess this is your chance to introduce yourself to Cubs fans that are going to hear you this season.
Well, I'm so honored to be in the Cubs organization. Last year, as you mentioned, I was in the Carolina League with Winston-Salem, so the Chicago White Sox affiliate. So I'm jumping ship Chicago team to Chicago team. But, you know, I'm so pumped to be with the Cubs, because if you think about it, in baseball there's four or five really national brands. So Yankees, Red Sox, you could say the Dodgers, and the Cubs. And I can't tell you, once I got this job, how many Cubs fans and Cubs writers and bloggers and just random people associated with the organization reached out to me. I mean, that's incredible. It's so nice to feel welcome to the Cubs family. So I'm really pumped. And to be in an organization that not only has such a great history, we all know about Wrigley Field, and we know about all these great teams the Cubs have had, not only recently, like last year, but early in the 2000s, in the 80s, in the 60s. I mean, it goes all the way back to 1908, really, that they've had all this great history. So it's an honor for me to be joining that from the White Sox, an organization that also has a lot of good history, in the Astros as well, a little bit less, but still, I was in Quad Cities a couple of summers ago. To also kind of branch off that point, and this is an organization at the very top that I think is the smartest in baseball, yep. And you could totally see that by the team they've assembled for the 2016 season. So I am so pumped to be talking with guys like Jaron Madison and other Rovers and whatnot throughout the year, to be able to try to figure out and relate to our listeners and to our readers in Myrtle Beach, you know, why they've been able to get so much out of their young talent so early. I mean, Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber, Addison Russell, you go up and down the list, these guys have been able to contribute pretty much right away from getting on the field in Chicago. So I'm really, really curious to see what the difference is with the Cubs kind of working day in, day out, and how they train their minor leaguers and how they help them learn the game versus the other organizations I've been in and the other ones I've been able to view and kind of watching baseball throughout. So I'm so pumped to be with the Cubs because I think it's just a wonderfully run organization. They do a tremendous job producing talent, and it's just a great time to be in the Cubs system.
Yeah, and I mean, even though we're seeing some of the fruits of the rebuild now at the major league level, there's still so much talent in the minor league system. So, I'm obviously, assignments have not been issued yet for the players, but are there any players that were maybe with South Bend or Eugene that you're really looking forward to seeing in the next couple of years?
There's a few guys. I think the first guy that everybody brings up is Gleyber Torres. I mean, he had that little short cameo in Myrtle Beach last year. And, I mean, for a kid who's 18, 19 years old to already be at this level, his stats are incredible. And then you consider that. I mean, he has such a bright future. And I'm really pumped to be able to see him grow quite a bit. I expect him to be in Myrtle Beach only because he played about 7 games there last year. So we'll see what happens. I'll speculate a little bit about that. But a guy from a personal perspective from what I'm fairly excited about seeing is Jake Stinnett. He was a second-round pick by the Cubs a few years back out of Maryland, and that's my alma mater. So I got to watch him play, or pitch, I should say, in college. He also played third base a little bit. He's really grown a lot. When he was a freshman, his ERA was in the double digits, I believe, and he was a major project, and they really worked on him, ultimately to the point where he was a second-round pick. He's got great talent, mid-90s fastball, and I think he's a little bit under the radar for a guy who was a fairly high draft pick and a fairly established college pitcher. So I'm excited to see him as well, hopefully at some point this summer.
Yeah. So in a discussion that you and I had through email earlier in the week, you mentioned that the ballpark there in Myrtle Beach is kind of unique and that it might influence stats on certain players, specifically left-handed power bats.
Absolutely.
Can you kind of explain that?
Yeah, that's a great point. And it is a really interesting ballpark because it's got a short porch in left field, and right field's very, very deep down the line and in right center. So Myrtle Beach in particular the last couple of years, and I'll use last year as an example, had a lot of left-handed pop. So guys like Jamer Candelario, Jacob Rogers, who has really produced well despite being a very, very low pick. You know, those are guys who had great numbers in Kane County. And then when they got to Myrtle Beach, they didn't hit for much power in terms of home runs at home. They hit many more home runs on the road in the Carolina League last year. I think it's something like, I would say, 10-3 for both of them in that neighborhood. And a ton of doubles at home. So for left-handed power, I think Cubs fans are still going to be learning this about Myrtle Beach and how they, you know, evaluate the statistics and whatnot of the guys that are coming up through the system, specifically those hitters, and that a lot of these left-handed power bats are not going to hit as many home runs at that level, specifically because they play 70 games at TicketReturn.com field. And it's just not conducive to hitting home runs unless you're able to hit it the opposite way. And some guys have that power, but a lot of the times at that level in high A, you're still learning to be able to use power to all fields, especially the other way, straight down the line, which is where the power really plays to right-handed bats in Myrtle Beach. So you don't see left-handed bats hitting all that many home runs. I think Rogers led the team with about 13 home runs last year, something in that neighborhood. That's not all that much, but I think you'll see as they move up to Tennessee and Iowa and eventually to Wrigley Field, the power will play up, A, because they're getting more reps, they're getting better experience, they're learning how to use all fields, they're learning pitchers better anyway, and B, because the ballparks play better to left-handed power at the higher levels.
Right. So if there's a big lefty bat coming up and does great in South Bend, and then you see a little bit of a drop-off in power,
don't be concerned. Don't be concerned. I always tell that's a big thing. And, you know, that's one of the great things. I mentioned the Cubs organization. So many people are focused on this minor league team because I think of what Theo Epstein and Madison and Jed Hoyer have been able to do. But there's so much of a focus in the minor leagues that it's almost magnified. Even though they have a great product up top, people are still talking about guys like Billy McKinney, and Gleyber Torres and guys even fairly low in the system. So it's really exciting to see people that focused on these bigger prospects.
Yeah, so we talked about how, you know, how the ballpark there in Myrtle Beach affects stats and stuff like that. I think each minor league kind of has its own personality, and some are known to be kind of light on pitching, some are known to be heavy on pitching. So what is the Carolina League as far as the strength, like just what kind of a reputation?
More of a pitching heavy league, and that's simply because Myrtle Beach's ballpark, where there's a lot of ballparks in that league that are really pitcher friendly. So you'll see most years the ERA leaders will be in the 2.5s with their ERA. And Myrtle Beach had a ton of guys who had sub 3.5 ERAs on their pitching staff last year. And a lot of that is they have great talent. And a lot of it is they play in very pitcher-friendly ballparks, not only at home, but in Winston-Salem, which is fairly pitcher-friendly, especially to right field. Wilmington, which is the home of the Kansas City Royals affiliate, I mean, that is a place where it's extremely difficult to hit a home run because it's like 330 down the lines. It's 410 to center field. So it's a cavernous ballpark. And the way the winds blow out in Delaware is right off the highway. It blows in almost every single day. So you've got guys that almost, when we play at Wilmington, it's almost like a Little League game where you've got the outfielders playing so shallow simply because the wind is so fierce in. So that's a great pitcher's ballpark. Salem is the same thing. It's fairly deep to all fields, and the fences are like 25 feet high there. So most ballparks in the Carolina League, and especially for the Pelicans, where they share a division with Winston-Salem, with Salem, those are two very, very pitcher-friendly ballparks. So in addition to playing 70 games at home in TicketReturn.com field, you're also playing in Winston-Salem for 15 games a year and Salem for about 15 games a year. So you're talking about nearly 100 games a season, at least, depending on how the other schedule shakes out with road teams where you're in pitcher-friendly ballparks. So it's always geared to the pitchers.
Right. Well, and I just picture South Carolina in July and August being pretty hot, mm-hmm. pretty humid, with pretty heavy air. So I would imagine that that has something to do with it, too.
I think so, too. And the fact that the ballpark is really, really close to the beach. If you're up in the press box, you can kind of look out onto the beach. It's over the trees, but it's about 5-6 blocks away, you know, down the sidewalk. So you're probably less than a mile from the beach. So you're getting those breezes in from the water as well. So I think that probably, and the way the ballpark is aligned, the outfield is kind of the outfielder's backs are to the beach, so the right. breeze is mostly blown into. That's a great point.
Yeah. All right, Scott. Well, thanks a lot for talking to me and you know, stepping away from your booth and
thanks for your
cohorts over there that fill in for you. So
awesome.
Yeah,
thanks
a lot for talking and can't wait to hear you this season.
Thanks.
Ready
so much
for baseball?
I'm ready too. Thanks so much for having me on, Corey. It's been great to meet you, and I'm really looking forward to interacting with all the Cubs fans from IVMB and, you know, throughout this great organization throughout this year.